Good morning and welcome once again to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries. And we want to continue on to finish up today with our discussion about the Old Testament, New Testament. Well, Testament is, and I guess I asked the question, is the Old Testament dead? And I believe that it's not. I believe that it's the living Word of God just as much as the New Testament is. No difference whatsoever. It's all equal. It's all the Word of God. It's all alive, and it all is just. You know, I guess to back up somewhat of what I'm saying is, I believe is in Matthew when the Lord was talking about, you know, the Beatitudes, you know, and those types of things, and he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now listen, I read that whole thing, but the part that really stuck out to me, I mean, all of it is wonderful, every bit of it, great, you know, glory to God, great verses. But, you know, when the Lord said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." A lot of people take that one line and they say, see, Jesus fulfilled the law of the Old Testament, so we don't have to worry about it no more. We're not under the law anymore. But then, what did Jesus say in the next verse? In verse 17, he said, "For verily I say unto you," verse 17, "Think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I come not to destroy, but to fulfill." Verse 18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." But what's he saying there? Well, in a nutshell, he says, "For verily I say unto you." So, honestly, I say to you, listen to me is what he's saying. Till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle of the in no ways shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. So see, the law is still there. The Lord did fulfill the law. But it's not gone. See, that's where I think so many people fail to understand that you have a duty to live and do the Lord's will, just like in the Old Testament. I mean, and don't misunderstand that statement. In the Old Testament, they lived and fulfilled the Word of God. They followed God. Well, we have forgotten who God is. We follow Jesus, and we forget that there's still a God. Jesus said, I am the Son of God. God gave His only begotten Son, Jesus. Jesus is God. It's a hard concept for a lot of people to understand. I know that. But you can't have one without the other. You can't have one without the one, all three of them. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God. And so many times we've taken and preach only Jesus and Jesus alone. But yet you'll hear people say these Jesus only people are wrong. Well, what are we doing? We got to be careful what we preach. We have to preach the whole of the word. And when Jesus said, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass. Well, that hasn't happened, has it? So until that happens, until heaven's gone and earth pass on, not one jot or one tittle shall in no way pass from the law. What's he actually saying to you? He's talking about the law. It's not passed away, folks. It's still here. And he says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. What? I don't know. I the Bible is so clear, and we all make it so hard. You know, it's just really, really sad. You know, we get caught up in what the Lord gave us, all of these things to that we have to live by and do. And so many people they forget it. They said, well, I accept Jesus as my Savior. Now I can go do, I don't have to do anything. I should do this and I should do that, but I don't have to because I'm saved under grace and therefore I'm going to heaven no matter what. But so why did the Lord say, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also? Why did the Lord say, and so whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain? And why did he say, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away? And you have heard it, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Nothing. Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You know, he gives us all these things that we're supposed to do and we're supposed to live by, and we just throw them away. We just throw them away. It's amazing. Here's a good one in Matthew. It says, let's see. Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer the gift. So, I mean, how many of us go to the altar and ask the Lord and want to give him our praise, but yet we've got hatred in our heart for someone, or just we despise somebody, and but yet we think we can go to the altar and give our praise to the Lord with all that on our backs? Nah. It tells you can't do that. So there's a lot of things you have to do because the Lord said so. The Lord made it plain. I don't understand why we don't understand it. I really don't. It's easy to understand the Bible if we let it. You know, Matthew 6 starts out by saying, take heed that you do not do, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Wherefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. So see, there's verse after verse after verse in the Bible, the Lord has given us instructions. The Lord has given us instructions on what we're supposed to do. But do you think we do them? Of course not. Of course not. Do not take heed that you do not your alms before men. You know, what do we do when we give our tithes? As an example, here's an example of something that we do. We give our tithes to the church, and in a lot of churches, have a thing up on the wall that tells how much money was given that week, and how much was needed, and how much was given, and they put it in the bulletin. What's that all about? What's that all about? Well, it's because our lives rotate around money. And so we got to know how much money we're given and how much more we need and all this kind of stuff. It could all be handled so much better. And I think the money would be there if the people didn't realize. As an example, if the church tells you they need $1,000 every week to survive, that's, you know, you're probably going to get your $1,000 and maybe a little bit more, and that's all you're going to get. If the church doesn't tell you how much they need, and they just tell you to offer your offerings to the Lord, I believe that you're going to have more money. You're going to be able to do more things for the Lord because you're not approaching it from the money-minded mindset that we use today. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. You know, it's hard for me to understand sometimes. I know it's hard for everybody else too. So many of us, I should say, to understand all of the Bible. The Bible's got some parts in it that are hard for us. But the things that aren't hard are the things that are simple. Like, the Word is the Word of God. The Old Testament, the New Testament is all the Word of God. It's all alive. The Word was, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and it became flesh. It all is alive, not just part of it. I'm not saying we have to earn our salvation. What I'm saying is that if you're a saved person, a Christian person, you have an obligation, you have a commandment from God to do the Lord's will and the Lord's work. Think about these things. Get your Bibles out and read about it. Read Matthew 5 and 6 and throughout there. You'll see, you'll learn some stuff. Listen, gotta go. God bless you. Have a great week, folks. We love you. We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, you know, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do, and we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to, you know, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, C-A-M-P-P-O-I-N-T, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.